healthy. Radio addiction starts now.
Power to the people!
The Laura Ingraham Show.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me.
People like me who will run out of COBRA, ACA may not be available for me, and the insurance companies can deny me.
My husband with dementia, Alzheimer's, and plus multiple other things. And you want to stand there with him at home, expect us to be calm, cool, and collective. Wow, what kind of insurance do you have?
Not going to take that away from them. That's what they say. Well, what does the Republicans' repeal and replace bill really look like? Is it a real replacement and a repeal? Is it just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as someone mentioned me earlier? Is this really going to accomplish what President Trump, then candidate Trump, pledged to the American people? Bringing down the cost of health care, busting up the collusion among insurance providers, transparency and pricing, etc. That gets to the meat of the problem. But so far, there seems to be a lot more Republicans who are on board with this repeal effort than not, but still got to get everybody on board in order for this to work. Joining us now, an old friend of the program, former congressman and now Secretary of Health and Human Services, spearheading this effort, Tom Price. Secretary Price, great to have you with us.
Hey, Laura, good to be with you again. Thanks so much.
So we have some conservatives and fiscal hawks, real reformers, who say we're glad this effort was undertaken, but it really doesn't go as far in serious respects as the House's original repeal and replace bill went that they had been messing around with now for years when it came to repealing and replacing Obamacare.
Sure.
Why is that wrong?
It's wrong because it doesn't look at the entire picture of what we're doing. And remember, this is all about patients. It's all about making certain that we've got a system that's affordable and accessible for everybody, that's of the highest quality, and empowers patients with the transparency and accountability that you've talked about for a long, long time. There are three basic phases of this, or activities that are going on. One is the bill that was introduced yesterday in the House. That's the bill that goes through reconciliation and only requires 50 votes in the Senate in order to pass. There's certain things that you can do in that. There's certain things that you can't do just because of the rules. Now, I know that's a process argument, but it's the truth. Second phase, or second activity, is what we can do here at the department. You know well, and you and I have talked about it, the previous administration put forward over 200 and some odd 40 regulations and rules that implemented Obamacare, and many of those harmed patients and drove up costs. And so we're going through a methodical process here at the department to identify those regulations and those rules and saying, does this help patients or harm patients? If it harms patients, we're going to do away with it. And then the third activity is the bill that will be introduced relatively soon in Congress that can't go through the reconciliation, so can't do the 50 votes, will require 60 votes, and that's where a lot of the insurance reforms are. But there are a lot of things that we can do without that piece of legislation. So that's the total horizon that we're looking at, those three different phases or activities, and I think this is a very, very good start.
The subsidies that are eliminated in favor of tax credits, they start at $2,000 for young people, and they go up to $14,000 for a family. This was what Rand Paul said about them.
We should repeal Obamacare, but we shouldn't replace it with Obamacare Lite. There are a lot of provisions that I think are still going to be in this version that are Obamacare Lite. There continue to be subsidies. They just rename them. They call them refundable tax credits, but it's still giving you someone else's money to buy health care.
So it's redistributing wealth back to people who, you know, reach a certain income level or not above a certain income level. I guess $75,000 for an individual, $150,000 for a couple. How is that still not government dictating the terms of insurance?
Well, a couple points. One is that currently, you know, the vast majority of individuals in this country receive their health insurance coverage through their employer. It's about 170 or 175 million folks. They get a tax benefit for that coverage that they receive from their employer. So the folks that are left out there hanging
explain what
out
that
to
is.
The,
Secretary that, Price, that, explain what that is.
That's a the purchase of health coverage for folks who get it through their employer. Their employer uses pre-tax dollars, so nobody is taxed on that. That's a tax benefit that the people see, that the individuals see, that the workers see. The only people who don't get a tax benefit are the ones that are out there in the individual and small group market. Those are the onesies and twosies, the corner cleaners, the gas station individual, all the folks that are out there by themselves trying to get coverage. So what we try to do is to say those folks ought to have a tax benefit as well for the purchase of health coverage. That's the first thing. The second is that what we do in this proposal is to make certain that it's the states that are regulating health coverage, not the federal government. We devolve all of that authority to the states so that the states, the rightful place where health coverage, health insurance ought to be regulated, occurs. And that's how you begin to get that competition, the choices that are so necessary for individuals to see, so that they're able to purchase what they want for themselves and for their family, not what the government forces them to buy. We're not forcing anybody to buy anything, but giving folks an opportunity to purchase coverage for themselves and for their family.
And why are Republicans, with our philosophy of individual responsibility, adulthood, et cetera, why do Republicans feel the need to cover or provide for coverage for all those under the age of 26 under their parents' plan? To me, that's just a liberal construct. Obama threw that in there, again, to create this new entitlement. Why do we have to abide by that?
Yeah, this was a promise. This is something that is remarkably popular. It's a promise that was made by the president in his repeal and replace. He talked about it continually on the campaign trail, and I think appropriately so. The insurers have actually written modeled this into all of their pricing. And if truth be known, those folks aren't terribly expensive to cover, so it's not a significant bump up in the price. But what it does is fulfill the promise that the president made for.
But you're not in favor of that, though. You weren't in favor of that before, Secretary Price, as I recall.
Yeah, I think when it was originally instituted, I think it was not the wisest thing to do. It has now become part of the insurance model.
That's made the cost of insurance more expensive. I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, a lot has been factored into the new insurance model, but that's driven up the price of insurance. That is a mandate that now Republicans in power are going to just continue.
And the way that you drive that down is to make it so that the coverage that's purchased is something that the family selects, that moms and dads select, as opposed to that the government forces them to buy. That's one of the keys, as you well know, to getting the cost of health coverage down. It's not who you're covering, but it's what you're forcing them to do in terms of the coverage. We want people to be covered, but we want it to be covered with insurance that they want, not that Washington forces them to buy.
Medicaid expansion is essentially ended, right? And the cost pickup for the states is it capped to the CPI? CPI used medical expenditures inflation index on a forward basis. Explain what that means.
Right. Going forward, well, right now, as you know, Medicaid and your listeners know, Medicaid is a federal state partnership program, but the feds basically make all of the rules. We don't think that's appropriate. We think it's that the most important thing for the Medicaid program and that vulnerable population is to allow the states to decide how they're going to cover their Medicaid population. And so we do that through a series of devolving authority to the states to determine what constitutes coverage for those individuals, and then allowing the states to use something called a per capita cap, which is a fancy term to say Medicaid has four different demographic groups: seniors, disabled, healthy moms, and kids, and all of those folks ought to be able to be treated differently depending on their health care needs. Healthy moms and kids actually are pretty doggone inexpensive to cover. But right now, the federal government dictates that states cover them with the same kind of health coverage policy that you have for folks who are disabled and for seniors. That just doesn't make any sense from a coverage standpoint or an economic standpoint. So to drive down those costs, you allow states the flexibility to put in place a program that works best for them and for their Medicaid
population. One of our experts at LifeZet, Secretary Price, said that the approach that you're taking will actually detonate state budgets within about 10 years because the current spend on Medicaid is expanding at about 9% a year, but that consumer price index for urban consumers, that's CPIU, is less than half that. So who eats that differential? The states eat that differential. State budgets are already in many cases being crunched. What about that? I mean, that seems like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, that may have been an earlier version. The version that as I understand it, was introduced last evening is one that tracks medical CPI for growth, and the goal is to make it so that it's a national equity growth factor for states, so that states get an increase for their Medicaid population based upon what the national growth factor or growth rate is, not necessarily for their individual state. That makes it so that you can cover the population that's needed at the medical CPI for the most vulnerable population. And the models that we have demonstrate that growth in health care costs for the Medicaid population is actually less than CPI medical. But there are assurances within the bill itself to make certain that we're not putting states in a very, very difficult situation down the road.
How much lobbying was done by the insurance industry and healthcare providers in the run-up to this announcement? I mean, how many footsteps through HHS and Capitol Hill?
Well, what we try to do is to over the past literally over a year meet with individuals. I obviously didn't have this role, but I did in my former role on the Hill, meet with all stakeholders, whether it was the folks out there providing the care, the physicians, the other providers, whether it was the patient advocates, whether it was the issuers, the folks providing the insurance coverage, and tried to bring forth a piece of legislation that actually recognizes all of their concerns and finds that sweet spot where we make certain that we're providing a system that's accessible for everybody, that's affordable for everybody, that ensures that we have the highest quality health care in this country, that incentivizes innovation and again empowers patients in a way that they haven't been through the Obamacare program, and really has neutered patients' ability to be able to select the kind of coverage that they want. So we tried to listen to everybody over this process, and it's a process going forward. And as I mentioned, those three different activities, those three different phases, are important to appreciate because this isn't just one and done. This is a continual process that, as we move forward, to make certain that we're providing
votes.
A healthcare system that works.
Yeah, 60 works votes, though, right? 60 votes for this robust approach to requiring transparency in pricing of healthcare services. Also,
on the third phase.
Yeah, on the drug side.
Second phase comes through our department, and as I mentioned, those 240-odd regulations that were put in place by the previous administration, and we're going to look at every single one of them, and are in the process of doing so. My suspicion, my belief is that it's likely that the vast majority of those are harmful to patients and drive up costs. Those were instituted pursuant to Obamacare. So we ought to do away with those things that are hurt patients and drive up costs, and we will do so through this department.
Secretary Price, there's a Supreme Court decision that you're probably aware of from 1979. It's called Group Life and Health Insurance Company versus Royal Drug Company. And what this case decided was that pharmacy contracts, the pharmacy agreements of Blue Cross Blue Shield that they engaged in the state of Texas were not, quote, the business of insurance within the meaning of the McCarran-Ferguson Act. In other words, they do not get broad antitrust exemptions because of McCarran-Ferguson. McCarran-Ferguson, again, people listening, just stay with me. It's a very narrow exemption from certain antitrust laws. It doesn't permit health companies, health providers, to conceal the pricing, refuse to, for an instance, give someone if they call up, okay, how much is that colonoscopy going to cost? You can't get an answer from most hospitals. So it doesn't it doesn't allow them to shield that information. So I would argue that you and the president have the right now to bust up that type of anti-competitive practice with the pharmacy contracts across this country, and also with the healthcare providers and their concealing the cost of actual treatments. I believe you already have that power under 15 USC.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, and we are working through that specifically. And I've been here 3.5 weeks, but we're gonna look at all of these things. And again, if it's driving up costs, if it's a rule, and it's something that we can get to through this department, and it's driving up costs or harming patients, we are gonna suspend, delay, repeal, waive, whatever it is that we need to do to make certain that we are on the side of the American people and the patients of this country, so that they can gain access to affordable coverage that's of the highest quality.
Yeah, you already have a lot of that power already in 15 USC and the Supreme Court decision on this. It's like bizarre that this hasn't been done already. You already have the power. You don't have to pass a new law for this. This can be done. So that's my view on that. On the competition across state lines, which President Trump talked about incessantly. I mentioned this on Fox and Friends today. That is going to be in a future legislation. Couldn't be done here either.
Can't be done through reconciliation, but we are wholly
the budget process.
Is wholly committed to that. As am I. The budget process can't be done there. But I believe it's one of those things that we can do through this department, and it will certainly be in that third phase, the 60 vote. But if we can't get that, then I believe there are things that we can do to make certain that individuals are able to purchase across state lines in a way that will again assist in driving down costs and making it so that the choices that are available for patients are what they want, not what the government provides for them.
Secretary Price, we really appreciate your spending so much time. I don't mean to get all law geeky at you and everything, but I'd love to.
No, I appreciate your perspective.
You're not gonna do an interview with me and think I'm just gonna ask like, you know, what's your favorite color? I mean, that's just not what I.
No.
That's just not what I do.
No, I mean, your audience is very very attuned to these things, and they need to have the information that. That they need in order to make a decision. And I would just close by just saying that the president is absolutely committed to this process and making certain that we repeal Obamacare and put in place a patient-centered system where patients and families and doctors are making these decisions.
Better work or we're going to be at your HHS office protesting. You don't have to worry about the liberals. We'll be there, Secretary
Price.
I'll
invite you in.
Donuts, please. All right, we appreciate it. You take care. Have a good day. We have a lot more to get to. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.